All right, you want to do some sound tests and see if we sound like shit or not, and see if we can record or not?
Yeah.
Stop it.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, it just depends if you're going to sit up or down.
I'm not.
This looks more quiet like than this. Usual. Look at that. Look how quiet it is.
Yeah, it's because if I...
It's all quiet.
It would be even quieter if you'd shut the fuck up.
It's April 30th, 2010, and this is the Idle Thumbs Podcast, Episode 7.
And I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Steve Gaynor.
And I'm Jake Rodkin. There's a volcano erupting above us.
Oh, God damn it.
Watch out. Your plane might be delayed tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going out of town tomorrow, so maybe no podcast for a couple weeks.
Or ever again.
Or ever again.
Yeah, like if your plane were to fly into a volcano.
Yeah, or an ash cloud of the volcanic sort.
You might be fine from that.
Yeah.
I'd be scared, though.
Yeah.
So you should be.
I am. I am in the future when it's happening.
The main thing to be scared about would be if you're going through the ash cloud and you can't see that there's a meteor in front of you and you run into it.
That would be scary.
Aside from that, you're probably fine because it's just air. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. That's a good analysis.
True. If there's that meteor, you got to watch out for that.
Yeah.
How about those video games?
If there's a video game in front of you, you should play it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're in the ash cloud.
Did you guys see that Bungie signed with Activision today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Jesus.
Thought it was weird.
That was pretty goddamn weird. Like, I don't know. After, I mean, I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, but like, so, you know, weeks of every news story on the entire goddamn internet is like, Infinity Ward exploding. Everyone's leaving Activision. Oh, my God, Activision... Totally right. Fucked with Infinity Ward.
Bungie. And
then it's boop. Like, every... I mean, I don't know. There was Tony Hawk, which pooped, and then they had, like, out of nowhere, it's like, oh, by the way, now we own Guitar Hero, and we're going to make a million of those. Oops, I guess we made, like, 4 million too many. It's okay. Whatever. Call of Duty. We got that now. That's fine. Whoops. Where did those guys go? Not Bungie. So, I don't know. That shit blows my mind.
Yeah. It's... weird.
Yeah,
I think I said that already, but
it's weird.
Still pretty so fucking weird.
It is weird.
Yeah,
I don't know why they felt the need to like shoot their existing giant franchise in the back of the head before they like brought Bungie on. Like, but
we can only have so much success.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the Call of Duty franchise will continue to sell.
Oh yeah,
especially with Bungie making it.
Nice.
Well, you get all the people, you know, like on Gamasutra, when we post this stuff, and I'm sure this is true for other websites as well, you get all these people who are like, oh man, this must be in response to all the people who just left Infinity Ward. And it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't sign a 10-year deal, like, in the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Fuck, people are leaving. Wait, who can we sign on for 10 years exclusive contract? Bungie might do that. They just spent millions to buy their way out of Microsoft. Or however that works.
What the fuck is that? This is fucking weird.
What?
I don't know. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know
if Bungie actually bought their way out. I assumed that they did.
Well, someone did. Someone had to buy the company from Microsoft.
Yeah. That is the oddest thing, though. Bungie was just having a little trouble lining up publishing deals.
Yeah, right. I don't think
so. They made this desperate move of signing a 10-year contract, locking them into a publisher.
Yeah, well, it's only for that. It's only for one franchise, though. Like, I think a lot of people think it's for all their games.
Oh, so it's just for Oni.
It's exactly. It's just for
their
resuscitation
of
Oni. Yeah,
franchise. I see.
So they've got whatever series this is for Activision, and then from what I've heard, they have yet another game that I don't even. Maybe they've signed a publisher too. Maybe not. But like a third thing in addition to the Halo game and the Activision thing.
Is the Halo? Are they? Is Bungie going to continue making Halo games? Now
not after this one. No.
Not after Reach.
Okay. Until 5 years later, it's announced that Bungie's coming back to Halo, and it's a huge deal.
Oh yeah.
And they're just going to call it Halo.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It'll be the first one just named that.
Yeah.
The first one was Combat Evolved. This one is a reimagining, a reboot.
Well, it'll
refresh.
It'll be more like Call of Duty Modern Warfare, where they'll come back and it'll just be Combat Evolved 2.
Yeah. It's like
or Reach 2.
It's like The Operative, No One Lives Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, No One Lives Forever too.
Yeah.
A Spy in Harm's Way.
A Spy in Harm's Way too.
The Halo. Operative.
Oh. Or The Operative.
Man, I saw someone on Twitter post about how, like, this was like 2 weeks ago.
Are you reading
ago.
Twitter?
Yeah, I was on this website called Twitter, and they had an article about how...
it was a short article, though.
No, someone like heard about a, like, Kate Archer game being developed at Monolith, and I haven't heard anything about it. But
I wish.
Yeah, I fucking wish, too. A. That'd be sweet. Because they're not making Fear 3.
Nope.
So maybe they're making a cool game.
Day One Studios is making Fear 3.
That's true.
Day One, Fear 3.
Yeah.
Precisely. Actually, Fathrier, I think is the official pronunciation.
Oh, that's true. Fathrier.
Fathrier.
I saw a whole article about Steve it in like, Game Informer. Fatir. And
Fatur.
No, I don't think they called it Fatur.
And also, I didn't
work on
it.
Oh, no, you worked on Fear for Spansion.
Yes.
Fear.
For Spansion Ear?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's F-E expansion air.
Ear.
Yes.
F expansion AR? Yeah, sure. No, I wish there was going to be a new fucking Non-Lives Forever game.
For Spansion Rear?
You're still trying, but...
I want a goddamn Kate Archer game. Kate Archer is one of my favorite fucking video game characters of all time, and I love No One Lives Forever 2 even more than the first game.
Are either of those games on Steam yet?
No.
No, lame.
None of Vivendi's stuff from that era is on Steam.
How about GOG?
Some of their stuff from that era is on Direct-to-Drive.
Like SWAT is on
Like SWAT 4 is on Direct-to-Drive, but not Steam, and No One Lives Forever is on neither, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
They don't want people to play them.
Mm-mm. Like, No One Lives Forever 2 is... I think maybe, as far as I'm concerned, like the game that era was like that was like a 2002 game.
Yeah, it was like 2002, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And out of all games from like that sort of handful of years, its graphics still hold up. Like just the graphical style and the texture resolution, just how
it absolutely
the aesthetic
does.
Of that game. You just increase the output resolution and play it today, and it looks like fucking Team Fortress 2. I mean, it doesn't have all the nice shaders and everything.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah. It obviously, you can tell it's an
old
game.
It's got the style.
But you don't need one of those crazy texture mods that replaces every asset in the game.
Exactly.
It looks really nice.
You play it now, and it looks like it was intended to look that way. I mean, you know, there's not a high poly count or whatever. I don't know. It's really nice.
No, I agree. It does look really nice.
That game.
Yep. It's pretty sweet.
If you know whether they're making a new Kate Archer game, write into questions@idlethumbs.net. Attention, Steve, so that I can
we'll
find
all see
out
it,
about
though.
It.
It's cool.
Right.
I won't show it to Steve.
God damn
he
it.
Doesn't actually check that address. That's true. He's the one of us who doesn't.
That's why you have to do attention, Steve, so they'll tell me about it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Mm.
Actually, put the subject video game dream.
Yeah, right.
So that Steve will definitely read it. Yeah.
Yeah, so... Bobby Kotick.
Yeah, wins Bobby
again.
Kotick. I mean, I'm guessing what happened with that was just like Activision offered them more money than anyone else. Like, I mean, that's sort of a stupid thing to say, but like a lot of people are like, why would they sign with Activision? It's like, well, Activision has a lot of fucking money. Those guys.
They also threw in a shitload of free controllers.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just, you know.
When they went over for, like, the LAN party or whatever,
right,
like, they didn't have enough lying around. It's like,
this huge,
you can keep take these with you.
Like, garbage dumpster or, like, container ship container.
Of Guitar Hero controllers and Tony
Hawk
ride boards.
Yeah, guitars, skateboards, and turntables.
Did they give it to them in the, like, you just moved to your apartment cardboard box where all of your fucking wired shit is in one big box?
No, it's more that they said, we've got a special surprise. Huge just cube dumps stuff right into the foyer of Bungie.
God.
It's like the Scrooge McDuck vault.
They built an extra addition. They built a wing of the Bungie studio out of Tony Hawk's skateboards.
Right. That was.
I hope Activision forces Bungie to create a small team of guys who will want to kill themselves that have to make a version of not Halo, but whatever the FPS is that uses like a gun peripheral.
I was just about to say that. That'd be the most amazing thing.
Like a gun motion peripheral, light gun.
What parents want the most is for the most, like some huge AAA game that kids are all encouraged to buy, to actually have a model
a
realistic assault rifle that you have to just shoot at people. I mean, light gun games exist already, but not on that scale.
Also, not in your home. Well, not traditionally.
In your home. The Zapper.
The Zapper, but I mean.
The Zapper!
Yeah.
You're
shooting a duck.
The Vapor.
It's Natal, but you have to hold this gun and it detects it.
Yeah.
You can't doesn't even plug in.
It's just no. They really just give you an actual fucking realistic replica gun. They just give you a real fucking gun.
Yeah, they just give
you know you can don't keep put the safety a clip on. In. It's fine. It does still works with Natal.
Hmm. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, that would be good that's if the Bungie doing. The Bungie game for Natal would detect the toy peripheral or your dad's AR-15.
Why are we both thinking about AR-15s? I was too.
What is an AR-15?
It's a type of it's assault
like
a, rifle.
It's like the sort of semi-automatic version of the
M16. Does AR stand for assault rifle?
Yes.
Probably.
I don't know. What does M stand for? How the fuck do I know? We don't know what
machine?
Guns are.
Machine?
It probably does.
The Machine 16?
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
That was like a game like a 16-bit game console that was in development in like 1990 that
I was thinking
got
of like
canceled.
A 70s band.
Yeah, it's also a band. We are Machine 16.
Yeah. They're from Germany. They're really big in the United States for like 6 months.
That's Chaos Theory. No, that's the
that's true, it is.
That's Bungie's new franchise.
Machine 16.
Yeah. Yeah. Machine 16 2 is gonna be one of those games that pisses everyone off.
Machine
two numbers at the end.
Yeah.
Machine 32.
Machine 32. Oh, that would compete with the Jaguar.
The Machine 32?
Yeah.
Versus the Jaguar?
Yeah.
Versus the Sega 32X.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Sweet video games, apparently.
What about Splinter Cell Conviction?
Oh, we played that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys play a video game?
The two of us did.
We played some co-op at Steve's house.
I also played the single player.
That's true.
At Steve's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird.
Correct about
not
that.
Not at the same time, though.
Mm-mm. No, because you can't play single player and co-op at the same time.
Yeah. That's a good point, Steve.
What did you think about the Conviction co-op that we played? I mean, you had played it before, like a press event.
Yeah, I actually played...
And you had certain...
The stuff I played overlapped heavily with the early stuff we played, and then we got farther than I did.
So it was boring at first.
No, it was different, because it turned out differently.
Games.
Ah, the nature of our chosen medium.
Well, not all games are like that.
No, that's true.
This one is.
Yeah.
Sort of. Some parts maybe turn out less different. There actually was an amazing part. It was actually one of the worst parts of the game, but my favorite thing as a result of it. There's a really unfortunate level where if you get seen or identified by an enemy, it's an instant fail, and you have to go back to the beginning of the level.
Those
or at least
are always
back
the best
to,
parts.
Oh, yeah. It's a great decision to ever make in any game. And you have to go back to the checkpoint immediately without... There's no... You know, no one chases after you or, like,
it's just
notify someone. Just instant
fade
screen,
up, down,
fade to black. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Those are good.
But there was a pretty good moment where Steve and I, we, like, had sort of figured out what we were trying to do for this one part. We were going to turn off the lights and then... open a door, go out kind of within the general periphery of two guys who were coming down a hallway to get them to hear something and come towards us. Then we're going to go back in the room. And then when they came in, we'd each grab one of them and knock them out and they'd fall over. And we were sort of like progressing, you know, like one step further on this each time. And like it was clear we were on the right track and we just kept fucking it up because as soon as you fuck anything up, it's just instantly over. So it was very frustrating. And so it would always start off by like us immediately running to the door near these guys, kicking it open, because when you kick open a door, it grabs it, you know, attracts attention.
Right. Yeah.
And then going back into the room and waiting for them. And the best thing that happened in this game for me was me going out and then Steve closing the door on me and being like, what are you doing? Come back in the room. And I'm like, well, you just fucking close the door. And as I was like coming back in the door to come in, Steve kicked open the door, which kicked into my guy's face and knocked me out on the ground. It was pretty amazing.
Oh. That's stupid.
It made us both laugh.
It was like the best, I don't know, yeah, the no, best thing that happened to me.
Then
the
guy saw us and we failed.
Yeah, so that sucked.
There's a guy passed out. Looks like he got kicked in the face by that door. Fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. That was basically the arc for both my single player and co-op experience.
Like basically, you were kicked in the face.
I got kicked in the face by...
Doors?
Things they decided to do in the campaign. Because they have a...
I mean, was the campaign more or less of that kind of thing than the co-op?
It was later, but worse.
Okay.
So yeah, like, in both cases, they have really strong core gameplay of just, like, guys are patrolling around and you kind of sneak around to set up your encounter with them and then you take them all out. Both in single player and in co-op, and you do a bunch of that and it's cool and, you know, whatever, there's a lot of different scenarios for it. And then they introduce mechanics in later levels that are like, and now if a guy sees you, it fades to black and you go back to a checkpoint. Or, and now you get sweet sonar goggles in the single player game, but you have to use them because invisible lasers are all throughout the level, that if you touch one, you pretty much instantly die and have to go back to the last checkpoint. And like 10 minutes after you get the sweet goggles that allow you to see where everybody else is through walls and stuff, you encounter like one or two groups of guys that you can use this cool ability against, and then they throw other guys that have those goggles at you so they can always see where you are. Yes. And you can't hide from them. And that's when I stopped playing the game. Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird tactic to, as you progress through the game, they basically take abilities away from you.
It's like
when they
sell you caller ID, then they sell the other guy a caller ID blocker, then they sell you the fucking, like, unblock the blocked caller ID. What the fuck is that shit? Jesus. You have to fucking grind up for that. Just the next goggles, they'll disable the fucking their goggles. It's cool, though, because then they're going to get them.
I don't know.
That doesn't happen?
No.
They just stop after you're both fucked?
They stop, yeah, after you're fucked. Oh, because you can see everybody else, and there's five other guys that can all see you. So then you're not fun. You're not having a good time
anymore.
You're not a fun dude.
So,
yeah. I don't know. I guess they're just trying to switch things up. But, like, we saw you start over is never going to be fun. And it's the thing that made you and I stop wanting to play that game.
Yep.
In co-op, especially in co-op, where there's just two crazy players jumping around everywhere, somebody's going to see something. Like,
pretty much.
Oh, it's so fragile.
It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't help that when I play split screen co-op, I have a hard time playing like really soberly. Like, I always kind of just want to run around and shoot a guy in the head.
Yeah.
But I think I restrained myself to an acceptable extent.
Yeah.
But after a while.
We did as well as could be expected.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Also, the fucking, like, the hook of that game that most of the levels that I've played through are capped off or, like, bisected by you just beating the shit out of some guy, like, personally for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I like that the weird, like, milestones of this game are, now you get to fucking hold a guy by his neck and bash his head against a fucking wall 8 times. Like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just bizarre to me. Like,
or break things with his face or hold his face on an electric stovetop.
Yeah. Like,
which happens.
Yeah.
And the animation for that goes on way too long. Like, you take the guy's face and you press it against, like, a, you know, glowing orange hot, like, electric stove thing. And you just hold it there for, like, 10 seconds. It's like, I think he gets the fucking point.
Yeah, he might be dead.
Yeah, and they...
You gotta do what you gotta do.
They use that...
America.
They use those sequences to kind of push the boundaries, I guess, to be edgy or kind of explore adult content.
Like pushing the envelope, like taking it to the next level.
Right.
Kind of.
That was kind of what
they
were going for.
Like a paradigm shift. Oh, yeah, like a zeitgeist.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you get like a little ways into... Like,
they're kind of thinking outside the box with what they're willing to...
No.
They're checking all the boxes, for sure.
Oh, that's true.
And then thinking outside of them.
Yeah.
I think it was mostly the pushing the envelope thing.
Oh, okay.
Exploring adult themes and content.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like,
games have grown up now.
Right. And one encapsulation of that would be, yeah, you have these these interrogation sequences. And so partway through the single-player campaign, if you've played these games, there's the character Grimm's daughter, who's like a young female redheaded hacker lady that like talks in your earphone or whatever, and you meet her in person and they give you some excuse that you have to beat her up, and so there's like a semi-interactive scripted close-up sequence of just like Sam Fisher slapping around a cute redheaded girl until she got a bloody nose. It was kind of like, I guess I pressed the button to make that happen. Somebody thought it was a good idea. And then later on you beat the living shit out of a black politician inside the Lincoln Memorial in front of the Statue of Lincoln.
God.
So
it has some sort of interactive bigotry and misogyny.
I wasn't going to go that far.
Well, that's
the envelope.
Beating up a black politician in front of the Lincoln Memorial, pretty bold.
It is bold.
Pretty dumb.
He works for the government. I don't know if he's actually a politician. I should clarify that. But he was a government dude.
He was Martin Luther King. They're like, that terrorist level was fucking hot. We got to do some of that stuff.
What, the modern warfare?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Put annoying shit in this game that no one likes. Press hits. We're talking about it. It's working.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's what
you thought about it, didn't you? So it's working.
They pushed the envelope onto this podcast.
Now we're covered with envelopes.
There's a lot of good stuff in that game, though. It's just there's also some maybe weird things. And then you stop playing.
What? You're talking about games still?
Mm-mm. Not me. Why did I do that? Did I do that into this microphone?
I don't know. I was talking about feeling inanimate objects that were pushed towards me.
Envelopes, right?
Envelopes?
Yeah.
You were feeling the envelopes? Do you prefer envelopes or envelopes,
I don't know.
Chris?
That caused me to think about it just now.
You push the envelope, but you put things in an envelope sometimes.
That's true. I think you're right.
You don't push... pushing the envelope.
Pushing the envelope?
You don't push the envelope. I think I always put everything in envelopes or say envelope for every envelope. Envelope. Envelope.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever say envelope. I think I always say envelope. Envelope.
Taking a break. Break time. Breaks.
Video games.
Bargo Busters.
Oh God.
What? It doesn't even. It's Bargo Busters time. Chris played and talked about it. Bargo Busters.
Busted.
It was pretty good.
Busted!
I like it. Let's do that.
All right.
What's Fallout New
Busted!
Vegas like?
Busted! Oh.
Anyway.
Nick Brecken was there.
Oh, shit.
Was he there?
Video
game! We're back. And we're done. Thanks for listening.
We're done forever. Also,
sorry,
recording
we made
this
you listen
with a fucking
podcast.
Trial version of software that will expire in like 25 more days. So I'm gone for 2 weeks. So we've got about a week left after that. Before
and then our shareware expires.
We can't record any more shit on this computer. So
help us.
There's podcast days are numbered. Like everything's my fucking hardware is failing. Fucking, I'm running out of software to use.
Yeah,
the universe is telling me
these
to stop
microphones
making a podcast.
Are on fire.
That's true.
Because this podcast is so hot.
This one electrocuted me.
For a full 30 seconds.
Yep.
And then you gave Sam Fisher the information he wanted.
Oh, I thought then you fell off of a dinosaur fence.
I fell off of a dinosaur fence.
Well, that's what happened. I thought.
By Steve Gaynor.
Age
quote.
12.
Yeah.
Remember that time, Steve, when you were electrocuted by a dinosaur fence?
It was because I was climbing on a dinosaur fence and they were cutting back and forth to someone else turning on the dinosaur fence, I didn't know it.
Did you hold on to your butts?
Some guy did flip 12 switches, then get eaten by a raptor.
A woman did.
Oh, a lady. Oh, she wasn't eaten.
Right. No, but the guy was trying to.
Well,
he got
after
his hand landed on
a
shoulder,
informing
though, for sure.
All to hold on to their respective butts, then his arm was.
That was Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. And he was the one whose arm was detached.
Yeah. That's sad.
Somewhere there's a foam rubber bloody Samuel L. Jackson arm in a warehouse.
It's in a guy's house. He bought it.
That's true.
It's a piece of memorabilia.
It's hanging from two pieces of fishing line from his ceiling.
In the perfect position so that he can back up into it,
right,
and have it be on his shoulder.
It hinges down and just, oh, thank God. No!
I want to hang out with that guy.
It sounds like a cool dude.
Sounds cool. I don't know.
He's got that hand, so he's got to be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
His dream is to have Samuel L. Jackson back up into the hand.
You mean Laura Dern?
No. His dream is to have Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, he can already see Laura Dern do that.
Yeah,
in the movie.
Right,
but seeing Samuel L. Jackson
Jurassic
have his
Park.
Own severed hand land on him.
That guy's
and then do a Laura Dern impression.
This guy's starting to sound weirder and weirder.
Well, he has a
and
foam
then
rubber
say,
hand.
Tell himself to hold on to his own butt. And then have him hold on to his butt.
With his severed hand prop.
This guy's got a complicated but very specific dream.
He's a fucked up guy.
When he bought that hand, I was like, oh, this is going to be so sweet.
He replays that scene in his mind every night when he's falling asleep.
This guy went from sounding really cool to me to just sounding fucked up.
How did a guy who bought a prop hand sound really cool?
It, like, even right from the beginning, he fucking hung it from his ceiling. This guy already sounded cool to you?
Like,
that's obviously
airplane.
Cool.
Actually, hopefully he hung it from his ceiling like a model airplane amidst a simulated dogfight of a bunch of model airplanes. Just Samuel L. Jackson's hand is also in there.
It's involved, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's involved.
It's, yeah.
You could say it's involved.
Then you could raise your eyebrow provocatively.
And, yeah, sort of clink some ice around in a small drink glass.
And then Samuel L. Jackson's hand falls on you, and you're freaked out. And then he says,
"Oh, I think I've, oh, is that what he says?
Yeah,
that's chaos theory."
And then he says, "So we're back.
Welcome
do we have
back.
Anything to talk about? We can talk about games.
I went to Blizzard last week, or something, or the week before.
What was it like?
Something.
I went to Blizzard or something last week.
It was cool. I played a bunch of single player StarCraft II stuff, which obviously is not in the beta, but one of the which was fun. But one of the cooler thing than the straight up single player is these challenges.
The online co op ladder with Nick Brecken.
Oh shit!
Oh,
actually, the now that there's the like GameSpot is giving out beta codes to people who pre order. So
now all the
like,
idiots are showing up.
Well, it's true. Like all the people who haven't played yet are in, which is fine. I mean, everyone sucks when they start playing, but like Nick and I played five placement matches because they reset the ladder, and basically I don't know, we lost like two or three of them and just kind of in general played terribly and then ended up on the gold ladder. So I guess the bar is pretty low, so now's the time if you've got a beta code to ask
Steve
you.
This is your chance.
Oh, I'm gonna go pre-order.
Oh man, you could do that. But anyway, so the cool stuff at the that I played at the thing was these challenge modes that actually are like directly aimed at getting people familiar with how to play multiplayer StarCraft and not, you know, getting your ass handed to you. And so they have, like, specific lessons that they teach you. So, like, they've got one that doesn't even allow you to use the, like, cursor-based UI. You can only use hotkeys. Like, you can use the cursor to point at stuff, but you can't issue orders with it. So it's stuff like that is interesting.
It's like a tutorial.
It's kind of like a tutorial, except they treat it like a high score thing. So, you know, the longer you can survive or like the more waves of enemies you can defeat in this. And so it works both as a tutorial and as a way for guys who already are genuinely good to, you know, like be on a leaderboard and get really good at something.
So how do you move your guys around? You have to point somewhere and then use a hotkey to tell them to
go
there?
Well, just regular movement you just do by right clicking on the, like, so you can click within the, like the, on the battlefield itself, but you can't click like build a guy, for example, instead of clicking like the buildings button and then the specific building you want to click, you have to hit the, you know, B to build and then whatever the thing for the building is. I mean, it's just in general stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like special abilities the guys use, you have to use the hotkey for them. It's just like you need the hockey. Yeah, you need to play hockey with the guys. Actually, man, some guy already has made like a Mario Kart mod of StarCraft 2.
Oh,
weird.
Yeah.
The mod ability of StarCraft 2 is pretty high, isn't it?
It's crazy, yeah.
Seemingly, if they made a Mario Kart mod.
And they only released the editor like 3 days ago or something, or a few, I don't know, like less than a week
ago. So that
ago,
guy was just sitting there, I can't wait to release my Mario Kart.
Yep.
And then he did.
And he did.
He released his Mario Kart.
He did. It's out in the world now.
Release the Mario Kart. How is that possible?
I don't really know. I mean, I haven't actually loaded up the editor myself, but
they demoed some pretty extreme stuff for that. The engine modding shit.
Yeah. I mean, they've talked about how you could use it to make, you know, a third-person action game or, like, any kind of, all kinds of crazy shit.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And weird, but I like it.
I mean, I think they, you know, like, you'd have to be stupid to see the kind of success people have had with mods of Blizzard games and not want to officially encourage that more.
Yeah, but I mean, going all the way to the point of, like, StarCraft II, an RTS... can
kart racer
like totally different 100% separate genres of games just by modding it with our tool set.
Yeah,
I mean,
they demoed like a third person dungeon crawly thing too with it.
Does it I mean, how deep do you have to go with that? I assume there's some amount of like coding that you would have to do to
enable
that shit. I don't know.
I don't think they actually give you a lot of coding access. Like, I think you can edit like config files and stuff, but I think most of it is done in the editor.
Wow.
Like, I think it's just it's a really...
It makes me want to get StarCraft 2 and never play it and just use the editor.
Just make weird shit on top of StarCraft 2. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. You should look up some YouTube videos of the when Blizzard demoed it. I think you'd be pleased.
At BlizzCon, I think it was, yeah.
I'll check it out.
Oh, it was at BlizzCon. Or at some other event.
No. It was at BlizzCon.
That's the slogan for BlizzCon.
Oh, yeah?
It was at BlizzCon.
Oh, I thought you were saying the slogan for BlizzCon was BlizzCon Whispered.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought you were saying, too.
Come to BlizzCon. BlizzCon.
It was BlizzCon.
It was at BlizzCon.
Anyway.
Blizzard.
Yes.
So Blizzard North is making that game?
Just, you know, Blizzard regular.
Oh.
Yeah.
But cool challenge modes.
So Silicon and Synapse?
Yeah.
Is making that one?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really liked Rock and Roll Racing.
A Division of Davidson or
so,
whatever.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
The thing, it was like a Rock and Roll Racing sequel. That was what you're talking about with the mod?
Yeah, that guy made a mod that is... he built StarCraft II on top of the Rock and Roll Racing code base. Hmm. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And then he
put Mario Kart music into it.
Yeah. I want to play more Rock and Roll Racing, so I'll get that.
That's actually his mod for StarCraft II, is regular StarCraft II, but with a MIDI that he wrote out to an OGG file that plays over the game as music. There's no gameplay changes at all.
It's a cool mod.
It's pretty
It's actually cool a mod file. It's an Amiga mod file of a Mario Kart song.
God.
Whoa, what was that sound?
That was a corrupt mod file.
Ah.
Sweet.
Mm.
There's good stuff in the single player, too, though. Like the... I don't know. I've seen a lot of concern, I think, from Blizzard people about how...
Like employees?
Like, yeah. About people talking about the beta and kind of what they expect from the full game. And I think they're kind of concerned people are... judging the full game based on the beta, which is sort of explicitly just a competitive multiplayer for balance and bug testing reasons, which it is. I mean, they're patching it constantly, so they're definitely, it's not a demo. I mean, it's a full-on beta. But I think they are concerned about people like reading too much into what the game's going to be like, especially because they haven't changed the fundamental gameplay dynamic all that much from StarCraft 1, you know, deliberately.
So they're worried that people think that it's going to be like Quake 3, where the Quake 3 beta came out. And then the retail game was literally that exactly,
oh, was it? I don't
but there
even
were
remember.
Like seven additional multiplayer maps.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is actually exactly what they're worried about. But the
that kind of sucks.
Well, I mean, is the stuff that's included in the beta going to be any fucking different? I mean, it's just going to have more other stuff
just,
with it.
Yeah,
right?
There are more modes. I remember when Quake 3 came out, even though it kept saying. It's really just going to be Arena Deathmatch. Really? Really? That's all that it is? Really? Really? Then when it shipped and it was like, wow, this looks just like the beta, the level, like the maps.
Yeah, but
the most played maps were the ones that everyone played in the free version.
But that didn't have a single player or anything.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, that's obviously...
It technically had a single player.
You could fight bots in multiplayer arenas.
Well, you played through a tournament against bots and then...
Yeah, but it was just, you literally just marched through every level with different bots. But... Surely that's what Blizzard wants. Yeah, that's the perception Blizzard wants to avoid right now,
right.
I'm sure.
One of them was a big eyeball.
That's true.
Legs?
On claw legs, played, like weird bird, robot bird legs.
Yeah.
That was a good dude.
He had a gun on top of his eyeball.
Yeah, right.
Swiveled around.
Yeah.
That's a cool dude.
So is that guy in StarCraft 2?
Yeah.
Swiveling
well,
eyeball?
He's in the beta. I mean, you know, Blizzard has assured us that things could change.
Oh, okay.
So,
right.
So the Quake 3 eyeball guy might be removed.
Yeah.
Or he might be modded in by someone now that we mentioned it.
That's true.
But he'll be driving a cart. Fucked up, stupid unit. Drops banana peels.
Yeah. His mechanical hand holding a gun sticking to the top of his eyeball is instead holding the steering wheel of the go-kart. Yeah.
No,
we're describing the best game. I don't know if you guys want to make it.
Yeah, maybe someone
out there in listening world.
Maybe one guy would.
We can make it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make video games. Read a mail.
Oh, man. All right.
You guys ready to read some mail from the readers?
Chris is.
We can do that. So Jim Hunter writes.
Hey, Jim.
Hello, friends.
Hi.
Hey.
Just thought I'd point out that there's a new DSiWare game out this week called Puffins. Let's roll.
Nice.
I don't own a DSi because I already own a DS, but if I did, I would totally buy it so I could tell you how much it isn't what it should be.
I hear that in that game you are a puffin egg.
And you roll.
And you roll around.
Out.
You do. The description is...
Puffins roll out.
The baby happens. Puffins need your help. Reunite the missing baby puffin eggs with their mothers, and puffins, let's roll. Several eggs have been misplaced, and they're just about ready to hatch. Using an innovative new control scheme to roll the egg around 20 fiendish levels of puzzles. Race against the clock in two exciting game modes. Safely return the egg to its mother and egg roll, or try to collect all the golden Kaplan and Keplin catch. God damn it, that's probably a word that I don't know how to say properly. Beware of rocks, trees, ice, and other hazards as you roll the eggs back to the safety of their mothers. Take too long or bump into too many obstacles, and you'll have a cranky baby puffin on your hands.
So it's Marble Madness.
It's Puffin Madness.
It's Mad
Marble
Puffins.
Madness with a puffin egg.
It's Marble Madness rollout. Let's roll.
Let's roll out.
Let's roll out.
Lock and load. Weapons hot. Puffins. John Jackson writes, fucking video games, how do they work? and I don't want to talk to a computer scientist. Y'all motherfuckers lying and getting me pissed.
I understand where this guy's coming from.
Yeah, me too. Dick Scatberg writes, hi, Thumbs.
Hey.
Have any of you read A Theory of Fun for Game Design by Raph Koster? And if so, what did you think of it? Do you have any other recommendations on books that changed or brought a new perspective on how you thought about games in any way? Cheers. I don't really.
I never actually read that.
I didn't either. All right, cool.
Books to read about game stuff. I did get a lot out of... Jesus Christ. A Theory of Fun? Wait, that was Raph Koster's book. The book by freaking Eric
Rules
Zimmerman and... yeah, Rules of Play by
Katie Sandlin
and
Eric
Zimmerman.
Yeah,
as well as Design of Everyday Things by Donald A. Norman, which is not directly about games, but it's about designing things for usability.
Everyday things.
Yeah.
Well, every single day.
Yeah.
Cool. Jim Schulberg writes, taking games seriously. Hi, Idle Thumbs. When I started listening to your podcast, it astounded and confused me that you guys didn't seem to take things in games seriously. Not in a bad way, but just for the most part, doing something like messing with the controls in Heavy Rain or considering how ridiculous the prince complaining to himself about his sidekick 1 minute and then listening intently to every word of the next never actually occurred to me. If a game had a stupid thing like that, it was an annoyance or a flaw in the game, not something to laugh at. Last week, I started playing Splinter Cell Conviction, and you guys had changed something in my mind. If you haven't played the game, every time you do anything at all to the environment, such as knocking out a light, all the guards in the area absolutely flip their shit. They start running around and yelling at Fisher, swearing more than I've ever heard in a video game. Old me would have found this irritating, but new me finds it hilarious.
Good.
I sit behind a wall for 5 minutes, activating my EMP device, watching the guards all suddenly freak out as the lights go off for 5 seconds. When the power came back on, I did it again. Everyone went crazy again. It was the funniest thing I've seen in a long time. So thanks for opening my eyes in a new way to enjoy video games, be they good or bad. Enter the Wumpus. P.S. I'll be interested to see at what point in this email Chris will say something akin to, Jesus, he just goes on and on.
You just said it.
I know. He forced my hand.
Yeah. I'm glad that we made that guy have more fun with video games.
Also, that's so true about Conviction.
Yeah, it is.
Like, the guys fucking go nuts.
Yeah. You shoot a light and they're like, oh, fuck!
Yeah.
And
also,
they start
they
running
to, yeah. They, like, know it's us. Like, they'll call you out by name, like Archer or Kestrel and co-op. I assume single players like that, too.
I mean, that made more sense in single player because they all do know that Sam Fisher is around. The barks in the single player are kind of hilarious because, like, I guess I first started noticing it in the level after the airfield, where you go to an airfield. And then, the next level...
Is that the airfield level? You go to an airfield?
Yeah.
That was a good move on their part.
Mm-hmm. So, like, the next level, you're doing it, you're playing more of the game, and guys, like, hear you or notice you or whatever, and they're like, we didn't get you at the airfield. We're going to get you this time. Or what? I don't know. Better barks than that. Slightly better.
If we don't, we'll get you at the ice level.
Yeah. But it's like, remember the airfield?
I was there.
Yeah. No, seriously.
You killed my partner.
Yes. No, seriously.
What? He says you
kill you.
A random just NPC.
Yeah.
He had that mask and that armband.
He'll be like...
Cargo pants.
They'll be like, I had buddies at the airfield. I'm going to get you for that. And so that's fine when you first
Fortunately,
hear
I was assigned to this warehouse. He didn't get me yet.
Exactly. But then, like, every level afterwards, like, following
that...
That
guy took my shift.
It'll be like...
At the airfield.
Yeah.
Airfield.
The next level, it'll be like... We didn't get you at the county fair. We're getting, and then it's like, we almost had you at the fucking, they just like.
There's one guy who's still at the airfield.
Yeah.
I was there. No, what?
No, I missed those last two, but I was at that airfield.
Fucking airfield. And I ran ahead because I thought maybe they wouldn't get you at the fair, but fucking airfield. I was there, man.
I was two steps ahead of coming right here to this public place where I thought I saw you as a bum. It was a trailer.
It was just some other guy, though. I thought it was you. Anyway, man, fucking...
Oh, but the lights are back on now, so you can just patrol.
Oh, I'm okay now. It's cool.
Did you have a good time at the Lincoln Memorial?
I saw you beat that guy up.
Yeah.
That was me.
That was fucked up, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I just gotta say, I don't know about
that.
In front of Lincoln? Dude. Anyway, I mean...
I thought the airfield was something
airfield,
else.
The airfield, I thought
then,
that was pretty bad, but...
Beating
Jesus
up that
guy.
Lincoln.
I mean, it just doesn't look good. They have like government has cameras here. They're gonna see that shit.
Anyway, I'm gonna patrol again.
Anyway,
now.
I gotta get back to the airfield. I just had to come over. I wanted to tell you that was just not cool. But
there's another
still,
Sam Fisher at the airfield.
Yeah,
now.
I've still gotta get back. There's two of them this time. It's horrible.
Oh, I just meant someone else was playing.
You thought it was funny when you were on that boat, Fisher?
I don't know. That's all I got. Yeah. So,
how'd you get there with a fucking airplane? Splinter landed at an airfield?
Pretty good.
Airfield.
Splinter Cell's pretty good.
It is. It's fine.
Anyway.
It's good.
Thanks, Wumpus Man. What was his name?
I don't know.
Something. It was Mr. Wumpus.
Oh.
No, it was Enter the Wumpus.
Jim Enter the Wumpus Scholberg.
That's his nickname.
That's true.
This is Nick.
Oh, man. This is a weird thing.
He blew up speakers earlier.
It
possibly.
Wasn't just me.
No, it was an error.
I did it by hitting a dude's face into it.
In like, repeatedly? Sequence. Was it a black man?
I grabbed his
Where
head
were
and
you?
Hit his face on it. And it broke the speaker.
In front of the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah.
Effects came out.
Effects? Like, facsimile? Yes.
No, like sparks and shit.
Oh, effects.
Yeah, effects flew out of the mesh when I hit the guy's face.
Remember the airfield? Who is this guy? Like, what is
the airfield is the fucking Alamo of Splinter Cell NPCs.
Well, I was really
sure.
You pick up. This room. This is Phaedrus. I remember the fucking airfield.
Did you get my fax? It came out of that speaker.
I thought it came out of a guy.
Oh, no. That was an effect.
Oh, right, right.
There's a part, like, the fourth level of the game is like a flashback 20 years to, like, when you were in the first Iraq war, and after
landed
that
in airfield,
huh? And after that part, I was really hoping there would be like an Iraqi guy randomly, like,
Fisher!
At the airfield, everyone's like, remember 20 years ago Iraq?
I was there.
My dad was there. Anyway, yeah,
he's dead. So this is a weird thing. James Spafford, a.k.a. Spaff, one of the UK Idle Thumbs guys, forwarded us a press release. He doesn't know what it is, and I don't fucking know what it is. It's from an organization called, it's in Italian.
And you're going to read it.
No, well, the press release is in English. But it's from the Italian Association for the Multimedia Interactive Works Movement for the Video Game Culture.
That's pretty good.
That's the translation into English, I think, of the Italian name. So one more time, that's AIOMI, the Italian Association for the Multimedia Interactive Works Movement for the Video Game Culture. If you want to go there, it's www.aiomi.it. Anyway, their press release is that thing is proud to announce and to diffuse its first official spot for the promotion of the video game culture. During its National Assembly held on the 17th of April at the Cartoons of the Bay 2010 and introduced by a written greeting of the Minister of the Youth, Giorgio Meloni, the founders of the association revealed to the public the spot produced by IOMI to promote, valorize, and make everyone know the cultural value of the video game medium. And so the video, created by Nicola Ferrarese and Corrado Agnese, makes a creative synthesis between one of the most important pieces of art of all time, the Gioconda painting by Leonardo da Vinci, and one of the most famous video games in history, Duck Hunt, in order to fight against the prejudices that make people think about video games like they are only childish entertainment.
We
showing
put
that
Duck
the
Hunt
video
over
game,
a Leonardo da Vinci painting.
Showing that also the video game medium needs its place in a museum, the most recognizable place where one can find every form of art. Mona Lisa Duck is the title of this spot. And it will be just the first of a series of videos that the AOMI will produce in the next month while waiting for the opening of Vagamus in Rome, the permanent museum of video games.
I saw
games.
A guy who had that
www.vagamus.com. Oh, was he a sheriff? Uh-huh. Yeah. So Mona Lisa Duck, look forward to this.
I guess video games are art now.
It's true, because you can put Duck Hunt on the Mona Lisa, and then it's a duck. But it's art. But it's a video game.
Yeah.
But it's art. Take that, Roger Ebert. I guess you didn't see this press release, did you, you fucking douche?
That's how, what, Duchamp made Dadaism into art? He put a mustache on the Mona
that's
Lisa?
True.
Yeah. So it works, apparently.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I just, nice. You know, throw that zapper into a urinal.
Yeah.
Also an option.
That should happen.
Just write S. Miyamoto on a urinal.
Yeah, there you go. Ben McCormick writes,
Hi,
Cult
Ben.
Classics? Question mark. Hi, everyone. Classics. After listening to your rendition of the Deadly Premonition whistle theme, I think it's called Life is Beautiful.
It's called A Life is Beautiful.
I realized that I've pretty much consumed everything the internet has spewed out about this game in the last few weeks, and it made me wonder, can you think of another game that has been so fundamentally bad, and we're not talking so bad it's good here either, that has generated such an extreme
All
cult
your
following
base
before?
Are belong to us.
It seems
that's
just about everything.
Yeah, but that game is.
Oh, is that game shitty? But the meme wasn't about the game though. It's just about the opening cutscene. This is actually about shit in the game.
Yeah.
Has anyone YouTubed all of the guy's parts where he's talking to himself about like 80s movies while he's driving his car around? I just want those audio clips. I want to hear him talk about Back to the Future and the Deadly Worm.
You can just leave it on for like an hour.
Yeah. I don't want to. I want someone else to have already done it.
Okay. Maybe someone has.
But a game so bad that it made people... The closest I can think of is that stuff from Zero Wing.
How about, like, fucking Night Trap? I mean, that was...
Did Night Trap become a meme?
Well, there weren't memes in 1992.
It scared a mom.
But, I mean, it was... People went apeshit over it.
Yeah, but they went apeshit over the fact that there was someone in, like, a dressing gown in an FMV sequence.
Yeah, so I don't know if that counts. I mean, there was no internet to make memes back then. No, I don't think so. I mean, Quap is a good game.
Quap is also genuinely good, so it's okay.
So yeah, a game that's not good and just wacky enough that people flipped out about it.
I guess. I don't know.
You like that Illbleed trailer.
Oh man, that Illbleed trailer fucking rules.
Yeah, checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
It checks all of them actually. Of them,
yeah. That meme is very small and happened long after the game came out, but it counts.
Yeah.
Because Illbleed's amazing.
That's true. Have you ever actually played it?
Yeah.
Is it good?
No.
All right.
So it's not good at all.
There you go.
It's actually really bad.
Yeah.
But clearly amazing.
Right.
So, yeah. Deadly Premonition is the Illbleed of this console generation.
The Xbox 360.
Was that the last reader mail?
Yep.
Oh. I wanted more of them.
Well, you can't always get what you want. Unless what you want is Duck Hunt and the Mona Lisa combined into a work of art. Because then you can get it in Italy.
The sequel. Duck Hunt Mona Lisa 2. This time the dog is in it.
Mona Lisa Duck.
Mona Lisa Duck 2.
Mona Lisa Duck 2. Duck Hunt Mona Lisa.
Congratulations on the successful completion.
Are you guys
of
hearing
cast.
That?
Yeah, I am.
That high-pitched whine?
Don't worry, our readers aren't.
I wanted to make sure the ending of this episode was really strong.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Idle Thumbs.
Idle Thumbs podcast.
So this is a good podcast. We're good at podcasting. I'm glad we're good.
I'm really proud of both of you guys.
This video games podcast.
Video games.
This podcast was recorded in front of a live studio audience at Silky Mongoose Studios.
Stop it. Hey guys. Hey.
Hey Steve.
Hey Jake. Jake. You ever heard of this game Far Cry 2? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I know Far Cry 2. I'm familiar with this game.
It's the game that song is from, actually.
Oh, really? Is it from that? I don't remember that, actually. I've played a lot of that game.
Okay, somebody open up the PC version of Far Cry 2 and hack in a Wonderful Life. What is it called?
Life is Beautiful.
Life
is Beautiful?
Yeah, somebody hack in A Life is Beautiful as the combat music, please. And then all you have to do is shoot your gun randomly to make it start playing. That game shucks ass.
That music would actually be...
You're off this podcast.
That was such a stupid thing. How would they not fix that shit?
What a shit.
I point my pistol at the ground and shoot nothing while no one is around and the combat music starts? Yeah. The fuck is that?
Now you're going to hit on Far Cry 2?
You're fired, Hawking.
I think I actually turned off the music for that game. Like,
I turned off the music for that game some amount of time after I had been playing it, so I already encountered that particular behavior of the music system.
Yeah.
But if it started playing Life is Beautiful every time...
Yeah, that would be great. You just shoot a desert eagle into the sky, and it's like...
I would hate that music being there, but also...
I would not.
If you were at a point where you were shooting guys and creating a huge chain explosion and that song was playing,
Well, you're in
the moment when you would need it to occur.
Yeah, you're in like one of the 5-minute combat sequences where there's just a village full of guys that are all shooting at you.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just.
And all the buildings are on fire and all the gas cans are exploding and guys are crawling on their fucking like hands and knees to save their buddies while bleeding out.
Or maybe that music starts playing, when you get saved by one of your buddies.
You're lying on the ground dead and you know that they're going to come and get you because
you hear it approaching. It's like,
oh man, it's good, my buddy's my... Here you go.
You're seeing that montage of like being dragged away while they're firing a Desert Eagle off screen.
Yeah.
I like video games. I don't know, they're all right.